Letang, right circle, Malkin shoots, he scores. A rocket to the top far corner on the power play, and the Penguins with a 1-0 lead. Bruins burst the other way. Here's DeBrusk, drives to the high slot, right circle. Now DeBrusk shoots, he scores! Back of the net, now Pastrnak. Bruins get another guy on the ice. Near side, Pastrnak.
That's exhausting.
Right circle, fires the puck, and they score!
To another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, along with Billy Jaffe, here in our Town Fair Tire studios for the full 2 hours today. We will check in up in Montreal with Judd Surratt coming up at 9:20. Bob Beers will join us at 10 o'clock, and Joe Haggerty, who is en route to Montreal this morning, will join us by phone at around 10:35, but Billy Jaffe is here.
What if he's stuck at the border?
That would be the greatest thing ever. And maybe we can talk to the Border Patrol agents.
Yes, you have to have Nexus Global Entry now. Just do it. Just do it.
I haven't crossed the Canadian border in a while. Had some great experiences back in the day riding the buses across the border.
Always interesting.
So most of the time it was no big deal. You know, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're a hockey team. Oh, did you win tonight? You know, stuff like that. Every once in a while, the border guards were bored, and it was like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning coming through New Brunswick into Maine. And it's like, hey, we're going to take all the bags off of the bus and go through all the equipment.
See if you got any extra bottles of wine in there that you're taking.
That may or may not have happened once or twice.
When I was with the Atlanta team, we used to have Thrashers. We used to have a Latvian massage therapist that every so often we just get pulled up. Einar. Where's Einar? He's in with them. Okay. Never had issues, but yeah. There used to be teams going across the border that would take, Toronto, I remember, would take an extra equipment bin. And the guys, especially when they went to Chicago, there was a place there. Oh, God, what was the name of it? Sam's Liquors. They would go there and they would buy cases of wine. And stuff together. So then they would put it in these bins and then they would fly them back. Basically, guys would have, and then they would be covered, so they wouldn't see them. And maybe the border people were going back into Canada were nicer to the Leafs, perhaps.
Yeah, I could see that.
We've gotten held up at the border. Oh my God! One time leaving Montreal, we should have been out of there in a heartbeat. And next thing you know, it's like literally an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we're sitting there like, "Are you freaking kidding me?" Because I think it was that night that the Thrashers they'd lost. Atlanta usually lost all the time. I think we had actually had a good game against Montreal, and then the border people just didn't feel like, and the ground crews didn't feel like putting our stuff on. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's go.
Take your time, boys. Yes. Good to have you here.
Great to be here, as always.
Good to...
Sorry I missed last week, but I know Ty did a great job.
That's all right.
Had a major game to deal with, major for the Junior Eagles. And, sometimes parenthood takes over.
I can't blame you for that.
Yes. Yeah. But looking forward to this week. Very, very happy. I wouldn't say I'm a glass half full type of guy. But I tell you, I try to be at times. Maybe it's my schizo personality. But I know it's a small sample size or a short period of time. But I'm very pleased with the way that the Bruins' effort level has been in these five games.
They're grinding it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to come easy.
And it's not going to be pleasant at times.
But you know what? You're right. You can't question them. I mean, last night, one of the biggest things that comes out of the game last night to me is, look, you beat the Penguins, which, granted, they're not exactly setting the world on fire in the schedule, but it's still a good hockey team. They've got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. But the work ethic in that game last night, Backus and Wagner and Corral, like, those guys are just busting their butt last night, creating chances. They had one that, was probably a goal that ends up not counting, but they were just grinding last night.
Yeah, but I thought he did a
really nice job. It was probably Backus's best game of the year. I mean, which isn't saying a whole lot, but
yeah, I thought he was working hard last game too. I thought the other game he was on a forecheck, actually a little bit even more aggressive. But I'm let's call two good games in a row for him. I don't think he played 10 minutes last night, but
right.
Still, I thought he,
but they were meaningful.
Very meaningful. I think in general, the Bruins team worked their asses off. I really do. You're forget the fact that you're playing against two of the premier players of this generation in Malkin and Crosby. It's also just a team that is playing out of position. They're playing out of sorts. Now, Krejci knew that he had to produce more, and Krejci did. Krejci was damn good last night. Heinen was great. That line being reunited made a difference, significant difference. But yet now Marchand and Pastrnak aren't producing. But you know what? Pasta worked his ass off when that overtime goal. He took the hit. He made the play. He held his feet. He did. So my point is, all of them are finding a way. Is it always leading to the end result right away? No. It isn't. But cumulatively, at least it gives them a legitimate chance to get a point, if not two. Sure, would have loved them to get two in Detroit. You felt it. You wanted them to. They didn't. They get two last night. I mean, you're talking the first five games in life without legends, right, so to speak.
You literally have two Hall of Famers out for a month.
Right. Minimum.
Yeah.
So I give the team right now, small sample size, high props for the work ethic. Absolutely do. Fun to see. That's good to see. Tonight's going to be a tough one.
Montreal's better than we thought they'd be. Huh?
They are. Buffalo's better. Montreal's better. Montreal had, and this sounds funny, they had 3.5 hours an earlier game yesterday. They're home. A little more rest.
Sure.
But
always seems to be the way when you go up to Montreal.
Yes. Anybody have money on them they want to put down, call Vegas. Montreal will get the first power play.
Well, we'll take your calls throughout today, obviously. 617-779-0985 on the state of the Bruins. You know what? A lot of the guys that they've had filling in have done a pretty good job. Defensively, they've managed to get through. They got Miller back last night. They got Moore back. You know, they're starting to get a little healthier. But the guys they've had filling in have done a nice job. I thought it was interesting. You mentioned, you know, Marchand and Pastrnak. And Pasta, did he ever end up getting a shot last night?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But he assisted on the game-winning goal.
He really worked hard for that.
He did. And you know what? There were two on that sequence. Krejci was able to battle on the right wing wall and keep that possession alive.
Yeah.
And then Pasta does it again in the other corner and ends up setting up the game winner.
Pastrnak had one attempt. He did not have a shot on goal.
Okay.
Krejci was magnificent last night.
He was.
I talked to him before the game. I talked to him in the morning after morning skate, and I asked him about how he felt. I said, look, my perspective can always be very, even though I feel like I have a visual on the game, and I do, but because you're not on the ice, literally, you're not on the ice with them in the bench, and there's a vibe. You get it as a player that you can't get it as an outside, even the best analyst, you know what I mean? You need that inside scoop, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I said, so what did you think? And he talked about it, about the Detroit game. He said, we worked. We really worked, and that's the key, but we didn't do certain things. And okay, so I had the vibe right. But then I said, what about you and Pastrnak connection? You know, do you expect to have that instant chemistry? Because they didn't have it in that game in Detroit. And that's what I was trying to get at nicely. He said, you're not always going to have it, even though, you know, they had it immediately when they played in World Championships together last year with Czech. You know, you're not always. But it's my responsibility, he said. It's my responsibility to find a way to produce.
That's multiple times he said something like that this year.
Yeah.
Like earlier in the year, when his line wasn't producing, and you know, you look at when DeBrusk was in a slump at the, you know, to start the season, which he's really gotten out of in a big way.
Yeah.
But Krejci said, you know what? It's not about him. It's about me.
Yeah.
Like I've got to be the one who is making this line go, and I appreciate that because that's not necessarily what we've always heard out of him.
No, and he's taken ownership of this. He absolutely has taken ownership of this. You could tell how It wasn't that he wasn't happy playing with Pasternak, because he loves Pasternak on Wednesday, but you could tell how he was ready to perform in this game. He knew his assignment was going to be going against Evgeny Malkin's line a lot. I don't have the analytics in front of me. I saw him quickly, but they did a nice job. Malkin had the breakaway. They're going to get chances. It's Evgeny freaking Malkin. Sure. You know what I mean? Even Phil the Thrill skated hard sometime yesterday. But they did a nice job. He did a nice job. I know he was under 500 on faceoffs. He still was a highly impactful player in the game, David Krejci, last night. And he is taking ownership of it.
And I know it's, I mean, look, it's kind of pick your poison when you're playing against the Penguins. But they weren't shy, especially early on in the game. I think you guys were talking about it on the Nesson broadcast last night, of matching up JFK with Crosby.
I don't, you know, and again, shame on me for not bringing my sheet in. I had the numbers in the first period. It was about 80-90% of the shifts in the first period, probably about 75-80% in the second period. There's a penalty out of there. And not as much in the third, but enough in the third that you're like, okay, he's still going with it. But yeah, for the most part, if we're gonna just talk the numbers game, it was a good percentage of shifts where it went Krejci against Malkin and JFK line against Sidney Crosby. There was a shift in that third period where Crosby was out there, JFK was out there, and you had to hold on to your lunch a little bit. You know what I mean? You're like, whoa, you know. And Crosby was taking control. He is special to watch. Sorry for the obvious comment, but oh my gosh, it's Crosby. He's so smart. Raycroft and I were just talking about off air about how his vision, his understanding of where everybody is on the ice, especially in the offensive zone, takes it to that nth degree. He won't put pucks into an area where 98% of the other players will. He just won't, because he knows it's not going to work, and then he puts it somewhere else, and he'll play as strongly on his backhand as he will as in his forehand. Not just his shot, just in general, his passing. And you know, Bruins have a few special players like that too, but you know, Crosby is Crosby. You might not like him. You might hate him, in fact, but you have to respect the heck out of him, what he does.
All right, so we get started there. 617-779-0985, of course, is the number. We'll get to your calls coming up in a bit. Judd Surratt will join us from up in Montreal coming up next, and we'll get his thoughts on the win last night and the matchup against the Canadiens tonight coming up here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Judd Surratt with you here. We're hoping to talk to Judd Surratt.
I think it's time to go home.
It's been a long week. A lot of cooking, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking, a lot of radio.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of early morning.
I know I don't have much hair, but I have more than that guy.
We are efforting Judd Surratt right now. Every time they go to Montreal, we have communications issues. Every time.
Well, it's a third world country.
Billy Jaffe.
It's a first world city, though.
Billy Jaffe is with me in studio.
They said to call his cell. He just texted me.
Okay.
You have his cell? I'm not going to give it out over the air, although I should. Christmas gift.
Judd. Everybody call and say hi to Judd this morning. Let's talk to Maria in Watertown.
Let's go.
What's up, Maria?
Hey, guys. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Billy, I have a question for you, and then I have a comment. My question to you is, why is it okay for the NHL to take what seems like an eternity to review a play, have fans sitting at home, sitting in the stands, waiting, and then come to center ice and not provide anybody an explanation as to why a goal is not a goal? I don't understand that.
Yeah, you know, and we had two of the best refs in the league last night at explaining things. They do a nice job usually, especially, you know, both Wes and
Chris. Wes does love the dramatic pause.
Yeah, the pause, but also usually they're good orders, you know, like they get it. But it was just about, I'm with you. We talked about it too. I put out on social media, I don't think it was explained as well as it could have been. Now, let me just start with the first part, Maria. The taking the time back in Toronto at the Situation Room. They're looking at so many different things, and you know, they're trying to get every possible. They are not trying. They're getting every possible angle. They're looking at it. I've been up there watching them do it. It takes a little time. It does. They want to make sure, Maria, when they make that call, and I know many people don't agree with this, but that they can say that they've looked at everything and looked at it again and again to make sure they can look at a GM or a coach or whatever in the eye and say, this is what we had, this is what we saw, and we're this is it, right? Like, this is it. So it's going to take some time. With regard to the explanation, I'm with you. You know, this is what I would have liked for last night. The call, we did not see the goal, puck cross the line completely. Therefore, no goal was the call. After
simple.
Video,
I mean, I might not agree with it, but
right. But after video review, after video review, there was still no conclusive evidence that the puck fully crossed the goal line, and the puck did cross the line after number 52 put it into the net. But however, the play at that point was dead, and he also pushed the pad across the line. So therefore, give all that, and say, all right, now we move on. All right. I'm done.
Right. I mean, and I agree with you. And I responded to you on Twitter. Your explanation was the only explanation that anybody received regarding that call. Give us credit as, you know, students of the game, if you will, and explain your judgment call or explain your rationale. That's all I'm asking for. Tell me why I'm sitting there for minutes on end waiting for you to explain to me why that's not a legit hockey goal. So that's my issue with that. My comment has to do with Patrice Bergeron, and I think I may have hearkened on this previously, but to me it's a point of emphasis now that, you know, this young man has had yet another, you know, I don't know how serious the injury is, but his injuries are piling up on he's a young man, but a body that's played a lot of hockey. And again, he is the epitome to me of the ultimate Bruin. Mm-hmm. He is a Hall of Famer, first ballot as far as I'm concerned. I think this organization owes it to him at this point to put some guys around him that are going to provide him with the opportunity to hoist another Stanley Cup. And while I love the grinding of this team and I love the energy that they play with, I don't see it with this group of players. And I think there needs to be some serious consideration to, at some point, considering parting with an asset or two to give this guy the opportunity to get another cup.
No doubt. Thanks, Maria. I mean, it's this team, I've said it all along, this team is a very good team when everybody's healthy. But because of the issue of third line center, and because of the question, now maybe DeBrusque is the answer moving up and maybe Heinen, but regardless, I agree with what Marie's saying. There's still too many, there's one or two voids for this team, even when fully healthy, to say that they're ready.
Well, let's bring in Judd Surratt now. We
no
have
void
managed
with Judd.
To
no void
connect
with him.
To the Great White North. Always an adventure every time you guys are in Montreal. What's going on this morning, Judd?
A little bit more snow on the ground here, but not as cold as I thought. Should be a terrific matchup here tonight. That was a gritty effort from the Bruins last night. And I think Bob Beers and I were talking in the pregame show that the Bruins lately have put themselves in a position to win games. The question was, were they able to follow through? And they were able to do it last night. They finally solved overtime. And things are so close in the National Hockey League. Just looking at the standings right now, I want to say the Bruins are in fourth in the Atlantic Division, but only 5 points behind Tampa Bay, which currently occupies the top spot. That's why each one of those points is so crucial. Huge goal from Joakim Nordstrom last night in overtime. And I want to know how many people honestly had him in the overtime pool getting the game run.
I want to know how many people had him even getting on the ice in overtime.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I want to know what time you guys got in. You sound a little tired, my friend. What time did you get in?
I think we got here maybe around like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's not awful. That's not awful. So you had the nice French Canadian customs agent. You had the nice.
Oh no, that was actually pretty quick.
Okay,
it was pretty quick. So not too bad getting here. A little bit delayed getting out, but you know, I think, you know, once everybody got here, it was like, you know, quarter to two,
that's not
two
awful.
In the morning.
Okay.
So they're not going to skate this morning. Mm-hmm. Player availability will be a little bit later at 4:30, and then we'll get an idea of what Bruce Cassidy wants to do with his lineup heading into tonight's game against Montreal, because as he had mentioned the other day, he's like, listen, on a game-by-game basis, what we're icing, whether it's up front with the combinations or the same with the deep pairs in the back end, that's going to change on a game-to-game basis. We'll see what he has here in Montreal.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, he's trying to, obviously, especially up front, you know, trying to find some way to fill the hole left by Patrice Bergeron. And we've talked so much about the impact of that line this year. You take Bergeron off of it, and it's like, what do you do? It's like, well, we try Pasternak with Krejci for a little while. Then we put Pasternak and Marchand back together, use JFK. It's going to be difficult. We know that over the course of the next month, maybe even more than that, depending on how Bergeron heals up to, you know, but they're also at the same time, they're as Billy and I started this morning, they're grinding it, right? I mean, they've got the work is being done by all four lines, and they may not be scoring on at a prolific pace, but they're giving themselves opportunities, and that's right now all you can ask for.
Oh, I agree with you there. And if you look back at last night, first of all, I think that Corrali's line, and we cannot call that the fourth line because of the way that Bruce Cassidy utilizes that group. They're not playing fourth line minutes. But they've got something going on with Wagner and Backes. Backes is getting close. Chris Wagner had some chances last night on the play that Maria had referenced. I think any of the three forwards for the Bruins could have been credited with a goal there. But they've got some chemistry going. They're taking the puck to the inside. They're starting to play from the hash marks down in the offensive zone and starting to flip the ice. Last night, I thought it was an interesting change. So you put Colby Cave in the middle, and you put Nola Chari on the right side, and you take Joakim Nordstrom off of center
and put
him on the wing where he's a better player.
Yeah.
And that line had some opportunities. They played some heavy minutes. I think that might be an option that Bruce Cassidy goes back to because it puts Nordstrom in a better position. David Krejci, as Jake DeBrusk was talking about, he was flying last night. He's almost at a point-of-game pace here early in the season. What he chooses to do with Jacob Forsbacka Karlsson will be fascinating here tonight. Yes, Sidney Crosby got the better of him in the face-off circle, but I thought for the most part the kid held his own. And believe it or not, in my opinion, I thought that was one of his better games, even though he didn't score the way he did the other night in Detroit or in Arizona, because we saw some opportunities. He will go to the blue paint. He will go to the high traffic areas to try and generate some chances. If you do that, some of the goals are going to come.
Yeah, he wasn't behind Crosby a lot. That's what I was looking for. There was that shift late in the third period where I was holding on to my lunch, so to speak, as I said to RJ, you know, late in the game when Crosby wanted to take over and Forsbacka was around him, and I thought his stick was in the wrong spot a few times. But overall, I agree with you about the kid. By the way, just for people listening, against Sidney Crosby, he was 3 wins in out of 15 opportunities in the dot. So that was a lesson. Mm. That was an education. That was a master's degree of learning in the face-off dot. But he'll get better. I don't know, Judd, how much he can do. I mean, unless he, for tonight, I was thinking the same thing driving in. So what could he do? So the only player that's out of the lineup is Bjork, right? So could he put him in then? But you're going to keep Forsbacka Karlsson in the middle. Are you going to take Krejci away from his line, which was reunited and it looked so good together, you know, last night with Heinen and DeBrusk? So what would you do now? Because Marchand and Pasternak are just not going right now. They're not. They're, now, granted, they get the power play, the overtime Pasta's in on it, but they're not generating. They miss Bergeron. Understatement, okay? What do you do, though? You can't. I don't think you can take right now Krejci away. You're the road team, so maybe you manipulate it a bit more, but I'd be reticent to take or hesitant to take away Krejci from DeBrusk and Heinen after last night.
Well, I think at this point, since the Bruins won, Bruce Cassidy can just say, okay, I'm going to stick with the same lineup, and then let's see what happens as we head into Toronto. But going back to what you mentioned about Marchand and Pasternak, I thought that there were opportunities, and they're not alone, where they passed up chances to shoot against Tristan Jarry, especially after Jake DeBrus scored. And Jarry played a pretty good game last night. I don't think there's any question. But he started to cough up the puck a little bit more. And I think if the Bruins, the way that they're currently constituted, especially up front, shoot some more pucks, go to the front of the net, create some opportunities, because they did get to the inside last night, but oftentimes one too many passes, didn't get an opportunity away, or did not give themselves a chance for a second opportunity. I think if those guys shoot the puck, maybe something will happen. With David Pastrnak last night, I've got to check the official sheet last night. I don't know if he was credited with a shot on net.
No, he wasn't.
So he did pick up an assist last night, but he'd gone a couple of games there where he'd been pretty quiet. He's got to shoot the puck. He's got to be able to get to the inside.
Defensively, they get a couple of guys back last night. Kevin Miller, by the way, comes right back in, led the team with 27 minutes, is throwing big hits last night, took Hornquist out of the game. Just the guys filling in did a terrific job, and the goaltending has been solid of late too. In really since Chara went down, you kind of go into panic mode thinking, oh, how are we going to do this? No Chara, no McAvoy, you're missing all these guys. The fill-ins did great, and now that you're getting some of the regulars back, it just has been solid.
Well, RJ, to your point, I thought Kevin Miller was a monster on the back end, and it was not just the minutes that he absorbed, since you mentioned the hit that he laid on Patrick Hornquist. He was a menacing presence on the back end, playing just over 27 minutes last night. And that's that type of element that I think the Bruins were so successful with last year. And that's obviously the way that Kevin plays, that maybe, just having a little bit of that presence on the back end right now with him getting back in the lineup will certainly help John Moore absorb some big minutes last night. The question for Bruce Cassidy, now you're switching to the road. You're going to be in Montreal and Toronto. Last night you were able to lean heavily on four different guys. But as you hit the road to play the Canadiens here tonight, you're going to have to lean a little bit more heavily. You're not going to be able to go to Jeremy Lauzon and Connor Clifton for just over 10 minutes, which is basically the minutes that they played. And I think the other guy that really deserves a lion's share of the credit back there is Matt Grizzlick, because he has drawn that number one matchup, whether it was with Jeremy Lauzon or last night with Kevin Miller. He has done a remarkable job defensively. Great feet, great sticks, great ups, move the puck. He has played top 10 minutes on the back end, and I think for the most part he's done it seamlessly.
I tell you, the rest of the league is taking heat on this guy. They're taking note, man.
Yeah.
They are. He is. If there isn't, you want to talk about an ultimate new age defenseman? He is. He was. We're going to be doing a breakdown on him tonight about how well he defended. We showed that one play against Crosby that one time where it was a real great lesson for kids about how your footwork is important, but then your stick to the puck always. Sounds simple, right?
Sure.
Sounds odd, but there's little tiny things within your stick positioning that he did that was excellent.
Judd, we appreciate
how about the play he makes. One more thing. I'm pretty sure. How about the play he makes on Brian Rust to break up his breakaway attempt?
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't take the penalty.
Block, and he does it cleanly.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Go have something unhealthy for breakfast. You earned it. Go get it.
Thanks for the call, Judge. We appreciate it. And we'll be listening.
It's Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. Go eat.
I will. I'm saving it for Sunday. Don't worry.
All right.
There's Judd Surratt joining us from Montreal, Bruins Canadiens tonight here on the Sports Hub. We'll talk more about that game coming up. We got to get the Sports Hub headlines. We can get to more of your calls coming up next. 617-779-0985. It's Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Sports Hub headlines. Hey, Celtics now above 500. They are 10-9 on the season after beating the Hawks last night, 114-96. Aaron Baines leading the way with 16 points. Celtics with a much better start in this game, too, scoring 45 points in the first quarter. Brad Stevens on the win.
Just thought our pace was really good, starters and bench. In that first quarter, I just thought that those guys were moving the ball. They were finding the right play. Defensively, we were really locked in and engaged until the very end where we gave up those runouts. It was a better first three quarters, two and a half quarters performance for us, I think. And then the guys in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I thought did a good job of kind of, when Wanamaker came in, and thought they did a good job of kind of holding it down and not letting it get any closer than 16 or 18.
Celtics right back at it tonight, taking on the Mavericks. Coverage going to begin at 8 o'clock on WROR and eventually switch over to 98.5, the Sports Hub, once the Bruins game is over. Speaking of the Bruins, they came away with a 2-1 overtime win over the Penguins last night. Jake DeBrusk, his ninth goal of the season. Joakim Nordstrom, the game winner for Boston Bruins. Visit the Canadiens tonight. You can catch that game, as always, right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, with coverage beginning at 6:30. Phil Mickelson picking up the win over Tiger Woods yesterday in the match. Birdied the 22nd hole to capture the $9 million prize. College football today, 4th-ranked Michigan takes on number 10 Ohio State at noon. 7th-ranked LSU goes up against 22nd-ranked Texas A&M. At 10:15 tonight, it's 21st-ranked Utah State visiting 23rd-ranked Boise State. And locally, Boston College hosts 20th-ranked Syracuse. That game kicks off at noon. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Kiel Vodka, the first American-made premium light vodka. Smoother, lighter, better-tasting vodka with only 58 calories per serving. Kiel Vodka, stay balanced. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
(617) 779-0985 is the number. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe this week. By the way, quick programming note, we will not be here next week. It is...
What's wrong? Why? What?
High school football Super Bowl week.
So?
So that's our 1 week during the hockey season where we
let me see where I am.
Hold seed on. our spot on the schedule.
So the Detroit Red Wings are visiting your Boston Bruins.
Yes.
And okay, well, I'll be coaching the Junior Eagles then. I won't be missing that.
So get 2 weeks out of enjoyment out of this show today because
we double invoice. That's really what comes
Depends on how many downloads we get on the podcast of this one. Right. So make it a good one. Let's talk for a second. We focus a lot on the Bruins. But coming off that game last night, let me ask you, what's up with the Penguins? 8-8-5?
Yeah, they're not
working.
They're
21 games.
They have some issues. There's no question about it. They already made one trade. There's another trade that's coming. I don't know what it is. There's been a lot of rumors. The team, missing a little bit of speed, it doesn't seem to have that. You know, the back end there has never been, at least overtly, their strong suit. But on the other hand, they play a kind of a mobile defense, and I'm not seeing it as much. I'm not seeing it. I don't think that their back end is strong. I mean, if you really want to get super into it, Matt Murray, the goaltender who has won two cups for them. And by the way, he shouldn't get all the credit. Let's not forget 2 years ago, Marc-Andre Fleury, for the first half of the playoffs, got them into the middle of the second, going into the third round. But Murray hasn't been good. He's now placed on IR, so they're playing two very young goalies. Last night was Tristan Jarry, who's a rookie, and now tonight is Casey DeSmith. And so guys that are just still trying to find their way in the National Hockey League. And up front, you know what? I don't think they're working as hard. And I know that kind of sounds maybe trivial or basic. I don't know if I see the same work ethic of this team. Is it years of winning that's caught up to them? I don't know. Mike Sullivan's a hell of a coach. It's not him. It's not him at all. But they're not working as hard. You know, look, you had Brian Rust, who he had a good chance. We were talking about him a moment ago with Judd. Grizzly came back to stop his opportunity. But Rust earlier, last year, was playing, you know, top six. You know, he's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's on fourth line. Not finishing, not, you know, and you look at a lot of their players, it's just not the same. I have to think that the wear down impact of winning that much, maybe playing a bit of a role. And I think that's why Jim Rutherford, who just signed a new 3-year contract extension to be the GM of the team, that's why I think he's going to look for a bigger shakeup than people realize. They're also missing Schultz on the back end, which 2 years ago, if you would have said to me, that is a major loss for the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'd be like, okay, what are you smoking? Right? Get me some of that. But I'd tell you something. Kid's really been good. A new age type defenseman, too. And I think they move his mobility, his puck moving ability.
So it's weird to, you know, see the Penguins first on the outside looking in on the playoff scenario, but it's like you look at 8 wins in 21 games.
Well, they had an amazing run. Remember they went 5-0 out west?
Yeah.
It was 4-0 or 5-0, and they were unbelievable. And then it came home, and it was almost like they figured it was going to be easy again, and they have not worked nearly as efficiently or as diligently as they did when they were on that road trip a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, and again, we just we're past American Thanksgiving now, so...
I guarantee
doesn't
you
doesn't necessarily mean second. They're out of it, but it historically doesn't bode that well,
right?
When you are still struggling at this point in the year.
If you said we're past Thanksgiving now, do you think any of our listeners would have said, "Is he talking about Canadian or American Thanksgiving?"
We have listeners up in Canada.
Do you think even those Canadian listeners, with Canadian Thanksgiving compared to American Thanksgiving? As a foodie, RJ, you'd be like, oh, God, are you kidding me? It's not even close. You would actually eat turkey. You know, it's not the American Thanksgiving or U.S. Thanksgiving is so much better than Canadian Thanksgiving. I'm convinced that's just another day to, I mean, it's nice to be thankful, but for them to have
right,
work
it's
off.
Just, it's not nearly as big of a deal. Up there.
God, no.
And
God,
it's,
no.
It's,
and the Canadians
it's
like celebrating American Thanksgiving. They do. They do. They're jealous. Trust me. I've spent time
they're
up
jealous,
there.
But that doesn't... Because I've actually had to spend an American Thanksgiving in Canada and was not a big deal.
Right. No, up there right. It isn't. But no. I'm saying they look at ours and they're saying, oh, God, I wish we had it like that.
Just adopt it.
I know. Just, you know. They should. By the way, we should give maybe Player of the Day Award on Thanksgiving to Chris Wagner's mom. She had 30-plus people. They had their, you know, a few hockey players. 4 20-pound turkeys.
Wow.
That's the intel I got.
Wow.
So Cindy is her name. 80 pounds of turkey, and Chris Wagner said that Crowley almost ate 60 of pounds himself.
617-779-0985 is our number. Mark, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Whoa.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Billy.
What's
good
up?
Morning. Okay, first off, I kind of disagree with Cassidy's decision to go with Rastin, not going right back with Halak after what he did last night. And also...
give the guy a break, Mark. I mean, you know what?
Not ragging on Rask, but, I mean...
No, I'm talking about give Halak a break after... I mean,
back-to-back games with travel.
I'd rather have the hot hand until it's not hot anymore.
I'd rather have the hot... If you know what? I know what you're saying. Truthfully, and I'll let you get to your next point. Don't cut him off here, yep. Mark. I actually, playing, you know, armchair coach, I was thinking, geez, it wouldn't surprise me if he came back with Rask on Friday at home.
That's what I thought.
Pitt. Yeah. And then goes with the former Canadian up in Montreal in Yaro Halak. But I thought because of the little bit later start in the game, and I said, just because of where the Bruins are with the decimation of injuries and just this grind, you go 3-4, and then you go 3-4 again. I thought there's no way... No possible way that they're going with the same goalie back-to-back. Oh. So I'm going to disagree with you that he shouldn't go with the same goalie again.
Okay, next. I also heard yesterday that I think Cassidy made a comment where Halak is not great against his former team anyway. So maybe that's another reason.
That could play into it, sure.
Oh. I mean, given Tuca's history in Montreal, that's
right. Yeah, right. Pick your poison.
Well, my next question is to follow up on what Maria said earlier about the instant replay, are they not seeing the same replay that we're seeing at home? Because you can clearly see the puck go in the net.
All right, let's talk about this for a little bit more. Thanks, Mark. Watching the replays last night, I didn't get a definitive view. I know it seemed to depend on, you know, who was watching it, because Jack and Brick seemed to think that they saw it in. I never really saw an angle where it looked in until... After the fact, a couple of people tweeted me some things that I hadn't seen yet.
Exactly.
And so I don't know if Toronto saw those or not, but...
But wait a second.
But there was also a question of when's the play dead?
Right.
Right? And all of that.
The picture that you saw, and I got tweeted, texted the same one, was no doubt that the puck was in the net after... This is after Corrali had put it in
gave
there
that second,
all the way
like,
in.
Jab, yeah.
We'll go over it one more time. the play is really about David Backus. That's the initial shot. That's what they're looking at. And, yes, there's celebration right away. I do believe the puck was in the net, that they saw the visual. I mean, and by being in the net means not just part of it, but all of it gets in. But there's no visual that we had privy to. Now, the league gets both broadcasts. They get both. Did Pitt have a better one? I don't know. I mean, if it was that clear and that better, they would have called it a good goal. I know there's people out there that think that the league will never allow the Bruins to score a goal. But I digress.
It only feels like the Bruins only come out on the short end of all these calls.
Right. and I never felt, as much as I wanted there to be, I never felt that there was a conclusive video angle that showed the puck clearly across the white, or all, across the line, mm-hmm. across the red, and showing a little white there. I never did. And you can't also sometimes take a look from an odd angle and say there's optical illusion that happens too. I'm just telling you, there is. But we never saw it. We never even had that look. The second look that shows the puck in the net is already after the fact, so to speak. So the initial call was no goal because Wes McCauley never saw the puck cross the line fully into the net. That's his only job right there from behind the net, to see if he sees it in the net or not. Now, he was moving around trying to find it. I think he was blocked out at first, but he never saw it go all the way through. So what is his call? His call is no goal. Now then you have the other officials that come and say, they talk about it. No doubt they're going to go to video. I know they talked about that Corrali put his, stick on the pad and the puck simultaneously pushed the puck into the net. And it was clearly in the net then. But the problem is that's not a goal. That's not going to be allowable as a goal. We talked about with Maria, though. I'm always for better, more clairvoyant, clear conversation between, explanation. That's where I am.
They do put out, by the way, the Situation Room puts out a statement after these. And here's what it said. Further examine the play of the Pittsburgh net to determine if David Backus' original shot completely crossed the goal line before the referee blew his whistle. There was no conclusive evidence to determine whether the original shot completely crossed the goal line. The decision was made in accordance with Rule 31.2, which states the referee may deem the play to be stopped slightly prior to the whistle actually being blown. That's
right.
the dead in the head. The fact that the puck may come loose or cross the goal line prior to the sound of the whistle has no bearing if the referee has ruled the play had been stopped prior to this happening. This is not a reviewable play, therefore the call on the ice stands and it's no goal.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately that's what they determined, is that, as you said, even if Corrali puts that in, play's dead before that happens. And
well, not only is it dead, that wouldn't be allowed.
Right.
Even if play, quote unquote, wasn't dead, they would not allow that goal off Corrali's stick.
Right.
With the pad. I do believe that the puck went in the way that they look. I've celebrated a goal before. I know other people have, that you think is in, and you're like, man, I hope it went in.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that one was in. I just don't think we had anything to emphatically call it.
I thought it was really interesting too. You guys had Andrew Raycroft with you last night, mm-hmm. and he said, as a goalie in that situation, you're kind of just,
of course you are.
You're just trying to cover everything so that the cameras can't see if the puck is in the net or not. That's actually a strategy that you said, okay, even if it's in, make sure they can't see that it's in.
Of course, no doubt. It's like that little kid who's stealing candy. Cover up that wrapper, put it somewhere, right? Now, I was there, Mom. But no, what you're doing, and the other thing for goalie is your body language. Not just covering it, but your body language. Be forward as much as you can. Look around like, I've got it. Yeah, no problem. It's body language. Don't slump. Don't look down at it. Head up. All these little things that they do.
617-779-0985. We got Billy Jaffe here with us here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show, and we will talk with Bob Beers.
The Bruins. The NHL. This is the show that's all hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerod, and Bob Beer. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We'll be right back.
2 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here in our Town Fair Tire studios. Bruins up in Montreal to take on the Canadiens tonight. Coming off the win over Pittsburgh last night. We check in up in Montreal with Bob Beers now joining us. Good morning, Beersy.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Last night, you know, we've been talking about it over the course of the first hour here today. Hard fought. A lot of guys played well in that game last night for the Bruins. What really kind of stood out to you in a game where it felt like, and I've used the term a few times this morning, it felt like the Bruins really just had to grind it out last night?
Well, you're going to see a lot of that, I think.
Yeah.
And if they're going to win games, that's the way they're going to have to do it some nights. And what stood out to me, there's a lot of things. Obviously, you know, Halak played excellent when he needed to. He was called upon at different times. But when you sit back and you look at the numbers kind of after the game and you look at the minutes that Kevin Miller played, you look at the minutes that John Moore played, I didn't glance afterwards, but I would guess that they're both season highs anyhow. Miller was up over 27 minutes, and Moore was up over around 26. So you had Clifton and Lauzon playing around 10 or 11 minutes, and that's, you know, on back-to-back nights, that's going to pose a real challenge here tonight. I mean, you know, Miller's just back from injury. Moore just came back from an injury. And I also put a lot of minutes on Grizzlick and Krug, so they went a lot with the 4D. They didn't want to use Clifton and Lauzon a lot together, so that made them, you know, kind of mixing and matching as that game went on. And Miller plays hard minutes. We all know how hard he plays, and, you know, he was physical last night. You know, he was throwing guys around. He had a couple big hits. He went into the boards hard once. So, you know, it's those are, when you have to have a quick turnaround and play again today, it just shows you how much of a premium they put on winning last night and coming away with the 2 points. And then I guess the fact that they actually pulled it out in overtime, because they've really struggled in that area. You know, you get it to overtime against a real potent offensive team. They played better in overtime, and they finally got rewarded for it. You know, they pinned a tired Penguins threesome, you know, in the zone. They got some fresh bodies out there, you know, and they executed a nice play down to the net. So a lot of things stand out for you, but when you kind of start to break it down, you wonder how, then you start to look to today and how it affects them today and what they look like coming out tonight.
Health being a given, let's just hope and pretend that everybody's good from the lineup last night going into tonight. Your only other option is Anders Bjork, right? He was and Stephen Kampfer on the back end. But what do you do, Bob? What do you think you do with the forward lines, especially after the way the Krejci line played, how well they played, how much jump he had? Obviously, DeBrusk and Heinen. I thought Heinen had an excellent game too. But yet, Pastrnak and Marchand not doing as much. And while JFK is continuing to learn, and being a road game, do you really have anything different you can do, I guess, is my question, when it's all said and done, heading into this game?
I mean, I guess there's always something different you could do, but
it makes sense.
Yeah, I do like, you know, obviously, you know, Krejci's line was good last night. They generated the, you know, goal by DeBrusk. But more than that, they were good. They were around the net. The fourth line, again, impressed. You know, that's a couple games in a row that they've been around the net a lot, and, you know, quite possibly, arguably, should have been rewarded a goal in the second period. But as far as the other two lines go, yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do there, Billy. I mean, I think Pastrnak's really struggling right now.
Yes.
And it's been 4 or 5 games. And, you know, they're checking him harder, but I think the frustration is starting to set in a little bit for him. No shots on goal last night. And these are games that you really need them. And that's not a Pittsburgh team that's known for playing really strong defense. They just want to go. They want to be offensive. At least it looks that way last night. And they're going to offer up some turnovers, and you should be able to try to take advantage there. Now, he did have a couple of good passes to Marchand, and they weren't able to connect. So, you know, good on them there. But I think he's struggling right now a little bit. I think he's a little frustrated right now, trying to find his game again. And that's where, you know, you're going to be without Bergeron long term, so you've got to figure out a way to try to get him going. They had him with Krejci for a few games, and really nothing was clicking, it seemed like, anyhow. So, you know, they've got to find their games, Pastrnak more so than Marchand, But, you know, I think that that'll come. You know, players go through little slumps, and they just got to pull themselves out of it. And, you know, it's on him to be able to be to do that. You know, and if Marchand's able to convert one or two of those passes last night, maybe it's a different story. So, you know, and you know, you're playing with a little bit more confidence in the plays that you make.
Talking to Bob Beers as he gets ready to call the Bruins in Montreal tonight. Talking about JFK, you know, we've seen him now for a couple of weeks. He had goals in the game in Arizona and in Detroit the other night. Last night, by far, the most minutes he's had and the biggest role that he's had in matching up, as Billy and I were talking about, for a lot of the night against the Crosby line. Just what have you seen from JFK over the first couple of weeks? What do you like about his game? What do you think, you know, he's going to need to work on to cement himself as a full-timer at this level?
Yeah, it's no secret, right, Ryan, that they've been talking about it, and it's kind of true. He's got to play with a little sense of urgency. And when he does, you know, when he's, you know, hunting, you know, pucks in the offensive zone and he's, you know, he's battling a little bit more or he's coming through the neutral zone with speed instead of kind of coming through the neutral zone cruise control, then you know, he's standing out and he's playing a little bit better. I think faceoffs are an area he really has to improve on. He got schooled pretty well last night on faceoffs, picking a lot against Crosby. Crosby was, his percentage was excellent, and JFK's was down a little bit, but that's something that'll, you know, it'll come for him. He'll have to learn. You know, I just think the computer, he's not a very big guy, you know, I mean, he's kind of slight. So, but you look at, I mean, I hate to compare him to Bergeron, but that's kind of the comparison you have a little bit right now. Bergeron's not a big guy either, but he wins every battle, or the majority of them. You know, he rarely gets knocked off his feet. So that's something that I think he can kind of learn from. It's just he's a smart player. He's sound defensively. He's, you know, he knows where to be, when to be. He just has to pick up that sense of urgency, and he has at times. Not all the time, but he has at times. And, you know, it's led to some more ice time, and it's led to an increased responsibility.
Bearsy, where do you rank Matt Grizzlick right now with the lineup the Bruins have as far as all-around defensemen go?
Well, he's been good, Billy. Yep. He's been really good at – I mean, he defends extremely well. For, you know, he's learned how to defend being his size because he uses his feet – and he uses his stick extremely well. And, you know, he's not going to overpower you, but he's just so quick. The foot quickness is there, the agility is there, and the stick is there. And the intelligence, you know, the hockey IQ to be able to make those plays defensively. So he's really impressed me on that end of it. We all knew that he could skate and that he could move the puck. You know, I'd love to see his offensive game grow just a little bit more, and it has. It's shown up in spurts. But from a defensive standpoint, they trust putting him out there and having him out there in those situations. I mean, you know, it was Miller and Grizzlick in key situations playing against the other team's top lines here. Yeah. So that shows you how much trust that Bruce Cassidy has in him and what he's accomplished. But if you look at the left side, you know, Lozon, Torrey Krug, Matt Grizzlick, well, Grizzlick's your best defender over there, defenseman over there. You know, Lozon's good. He's coming. He competes extremely hard. But Grizzlick's, you know, a little bit more seasoned in just over a year or whatever. I guess you put John Moore over there too, and Moore gives you everything he's got. But he's been playing the right side, you know, because of injuries. So on that left side, I mean, Matt Grizzlick's, you know, the guy that you're turning to in a key situation, the guy you're going to have out there at the end of the game.
You mentioned at the start, you know, Yaro Halak played really well last night. Again, you know, there were several situations in the game where they needed him to come up with big saves, and he did. They'll come back with Rask tonight, who, you know, has gotten better here over the last couple of weeks. You know, it seems like they've gotten into the stretch now. You know, they lose Chara, they lose Bergeron. They're going to be out for extended periods of time, and the young guys have been able to fill in and do the job admirably defensively, but the goaltending has been solid here over the last couple of weeks. And they, you know, if people had questions about Tuukka, he's started to step his game up when they've really needed him now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the road trip, other than the Colorado game, the goaltending was excellent. You know, and that was a game that was probably Halak's worst game of the season, right? You know, he had a couple goals that got away from him. The team didn't look great in front of him either. But I think that both of them here over the last several games, Halak most of the season, but, you know, Tuukka certainly over the last few games has really come back into form, and you've got to hope that continues. Absolutely. They're going to be tested, and they're going to have to keep them in games at certain times. But I think there's things you can do as a team where, you know, you've got to limit odd man rushes, and that comes from, okay, how are you playing at the other end of the ice? You know, are they smart pinches? Are you taking care of the puck the right way? You know, that goal against Detroit the other night, the tying goal by Athanasiou, that was a 2-on-1 in the third period with a 2-1 lead. So there were a couple things that went wrong, and, you know, no coincidence that a couple guys ended up in the press box after that game. So it's, you know, I think Bruce Cassidy needs, you know, intelligent play, especially at certain parts of the game. And they were better last night at it in the third period with a 1-1 tie, because you've got to get in that situation. You either need the win or you got to get to overtime because you need the points. And that's the way it's going to be here for a while. I think a lot of games are going to be close, especially if your goaltending's playing like that. I think a lot of games are going to be close. And so you just need that intelligence where you're not giving up the odd man rushes, and certainly taking care of the middle of the ice inside your own zone. You know, the chances that Detroit generated, and Pittsburgh generated too, but Pittsburgh's a better offensive team. I mean, they've got more weapons up front. So, you know, taking care of certain areas in the defensive zone and making the other teams work a little bit for the chances they're going to get, I think that has to be, you know, on the top of the list in terms of how they want to play. And then they got to grind it out of the offensive zone. And we've seen that here over the last, well, handful of games anyhow. And, you know, this, the tic-tac-toe pretty plays, just they might not be there. You're going to have to score some of those greasy goals going to the net. And, you know, you hope that continues for them. But the work ethic's been there. The commitment has been there. And, you know, the goaltending has certainly been there, and it's led to a couple of real close games, real low scoring games.
Yeah, interesting. You bring up middle of the ice. Actually, tonight on Ness and Beersy, we're going to talk a little bit about that early on in the about middle of the ice thing, just to keep that area clean, because you hit it. I mean, Pitt is a hell of an offensive club when they're all going, but still, there were times that it happened. I just got to shift gears a little bit here. I need to get your opinion on this before we let you go. Maybe you've already talked about it with Judd in the past, but what is your opinion of the Carolina Hurricanes goal celebration or win celebrations at the end of the night?
Wow.
I'm shifting here, but you've been, you know, we've all been in the game forever, but you know, I need to get your opinion because it's becoming a much bigger thing around the league because of more comments that one Brian Burke made again the other day on Sportsnet.
Yeah, I heard, I didn't hear them, but I read Berkey's comments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really haven't thought about it a whole lot, Billy. I guess they did something else last night when they won.
Well, they do something different every game. Yeah.
You know, I was glad I didn't have to see it when we were in Carolina, because actually the Bruins pulled that game out. So, I don't know. I honestly really don't care.
Does it matter? I mean, in this era,
it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things.
Right.
You know, they're in Carolina. They're having a little fun. I mean, if you're winning games, I don't know. It's not.
How can it be a bad thing? Is my comment.
It's a little silly, but it's
right.
But if the fans like it, and you know, it brings the team together a little bit, then I mean, it really doesn't bother me at all.
We'll let you go on that, Beersy.
I know. We just have a little fun with that. There. I'm with Beersy.
Your guys' comments on it.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's fun.
You know what? The whole spectacle of all the glitz and glamour and the, you know, stuff they do in Vegas before the game doesn't do anything for me. But if it, you know, if it gets fans interested in the sport, if it, you know, gets some extra eyeballs and gets people talking, you know what? You do what you got to do. I'm fine with it, right?
Trust me, there's been a lot more minor league stuff going on in the South. It used to be the Southeast Division. I saw a lot of minor league garbage in the time that I spent in Atlanta. If certain people think that this is peewee or minor league stuff, trust me, they haven't seen minor league stuff before.
Yeah, so. Go to Vegas in the minors. You think try going to Vegas and watching what they do in the minors before a game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Try going to Vegas and have to play a game when you're in the minors.
Yeah, exactly.
After a night out of the casino.
That too.
Yeah. All right, Beersy, appreciate the time as always. We'll be listening tonight.
Thanks, guys.
There's Bob Beers. He and Judd Cirotta have the call tonight as the Bruins take on Montreal. We will continue. We can get to your calls coming up, 617-779-0985. Joe Haggerty's going to join us about 15 or 20 minutes as well. We'll find out how his voyage to Montreal is going this morning. And we'll talk a little bit more about this team. Also want to ask Billy about a couple of things going on around the league this week. All still to come here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5. Sports Hub.
I got my Honda certified pre-owned vehicle at Honda North. There's a reason they're the number one Honda CPO dealer in New England. I love Honda North.
At Honda North, this is how we Honda.
Talk to us. We love to hear from you.
HondaNorth.com.
Are you a Patriots fan? Do you have a car that needs insurance? Boom! I've got just what you need. I'm Matthew Slater of the New England Patriots. And when it comes to car insurance, consider yourself covered. Get the Patriots official auto insurance program from Plymouth Rock Assurance and get great football benefits from the Pats and quality car insurance from Plymouth Rock. It's the perfect play for any New England sports fan. Go to PlymouthRock.com/touchdown today.
I'm Alex Reisman, and this holiday, you can give her the ring she really wants.
Because right now, qualified buyers get 5 years, 60-month financing.
Buy a $5,000 Rom Diamond engagement ring for under $118 a month.
Now's the time to pop the question.
Give her a Rom Diamond, and I guarantee she'll say yes.
At Rom Diamond, we can make diamonds a part of your life.
Route 24 to exit 17B, and right now online at romdiamonds.com.
It's Vilger here, and Liberty Chevy's Black Friday sale is on. With unbeatable Black Friday deals like a lease on a new Equinox for $69 or a new Silverado for $79 a month. Plus, only Liberty gives you a 10-year, 150,000-mile warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. See my friends at Liberty Chevrolet Wakefield or libertychevy.com. Find new roads, shop smart, and get Liberty for less.
27 months, $39.98 down. See dealer for details. Ends 11/30/18.
Attention CDL hazmat tanker drivers and diesel mechanics. Transgas of Lowell is growing, and they're offering up to a $10,000 bonus. If you have 3 or more years experience and are looking for great benefits like overtime pay after 8 hours, paid holidays and vacation, medical and dental insurance, and a pension, call 978-856-2913. That's 978-856-2913. Transgas is a leader in the natural gas transportation industry that truly cares for its employees. Come join a growing team and call Transgas of Lowell today at 978-856-2913.
Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, provides great food for great fans. Grill up some delicious Stop and Shop all-natural chicken drumsticks, thighs, and leg quarters for just 99 cents a pound. Perfect for game time. Get details at stopandshop.com.
At Land Rover Sudbury, you'll find over 40 certified pre-owned Land Rover vehicles available this holiday season. Every Land Rover approved certified pre-owned vehicle must pass through a rigorous 165-point inspection to make certain it's as good as new, which it practically is. Plus, with Herb Chambers, you'll always get more for your trade. Visit Land Rover Sudbury today on Route 20 or find us online at landroverofsudbury.com and discover incredible holiday offers on every certified pre-owned vehicle in stock.
This is Dana Katz from Milton's, the store for men. There's nothing we love more than helping bride and grooms make their perfect wedding come true. Whether you want the guys in tuxedos, vested suits, or blue blazers, we'll outfit everyone, even the dads and ring bearers, right down to matching the perfect ties. And Milton's buy one, get one free suit sale makes it much more affordable. For an appointment, email wedding@miltons.com. Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill.
If you run a small business, you want to attract the best people. Often a good health plan can make the difference. Find the affordable, high-quality coverage you're looking for with the Massachusetts Health Connector for Business. It's your one-stop shop to compare up to 50 plans. You control costs and give your employees more choices, too. Find a free, certified broker on the site or sign up yourself, quickly and easily. Get started at mahealthconnector.org. That's mahealthconnector.org.
It's Black Friday pricing all November long at Pride Kia of Lynn. Enjoy doorbuster deals every day on every new Kia during Kia's Black Friday sales event. Go to Pride Kia on the Linway in Lynn or pridekiaoflynn.com.
Off a much-needed bye week and head into the post-Thanksgiving weekend in New York to burn off some calories against the rival Jets. Pre-game live from Splitsville at Patriot Place begins tomorrow at 10. Kickoff with Bob and Zoe is at 1 on the Safety Insurance 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. The Patriots, the Jets, on the home of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Press the right pants in! Let's go!
Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. You asked Bob Beers about the hurricane celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Burke had some comments about that this week, as you brought up, saying, you know, it has no place in our sport or anything like that.
He called it Pee-wee special.
Yeah. I mean, it's, look, I get it. You know, some people don't like it. I don't think, I don't know about you, it doesn't really do anything for me.
I like it. Look, you know, you're telling me that you don't look at it? You're a social media dude. I mean,
I did for the first couple of them.
Okay.
And then after that, it's like, okay. You know, if there's anything that really goes crazy, I'll check it out. But, you know, ultimately, like we were talking about, though, it's a different type of market. I mean, you're not dealing with a, you know, a traditional hockey market. They've been down there a long time, but they haven't been very good for a long time.
No, they've been pathetic.
One of the best things they had going down there was, you know, back when they were contenders and won the cup, is, you know, they're doing tailgate parties and things like that. It's a, you know, kind of a football type atmosphere. It's a different type of a place.
We used to go down there when I was with the Atlanta Thrashers. Oh my God, we get our asses kicked a lot of times, but we play them a lot. But you drive into that parking lot when they were good a few hours before the game, and you would see Canes tents up and awnings, and you know, you would be salivating at the barbecue that they were. By the way, I haven't been there a couple of years because I don't travel as much, but they used to have the best pregame meal, media pregame meal in the league.
Yeah,
they always had barbecue. They always had pulled pork, a few different sauces. They had a tremendous dessert bar. Oh, it had to try all three things. Always topped off with ice cream at the end. That was literally the Never Hungry League. That was the NHL then. Oh my God. Anyways, it is a different market. They have been Peter Carmanos, and is for many years his intent to sell the team that didn't go anywhere, and then his lack of putting anything into it. The effort was minimal, and you know, I know he's paying for it, but they weren't getting players. They were jettisoning players out of there. It became apathy, or not even. It just became awful. So now they're getting a little something better. New owner. I don't know how much this new owner really has anything to do with it, quite honestly. I think hiring Rod Brindamore was really good.
Well, we were talking off air, though, and that's why I wanted to kind of circle back to this, is that you said, you know, it feels like there's something there. Right. I mean,
not that
they're like a cup contender or anything like that, but it feels like there's some life in that organization.
Yeah, it's better.
You know, you bring in, you turn the keys over to Rod Brindamore. There's not a lot of names that'll jump off the page at a lot of fans here. So, you know, it does have almost like a Vegas type feel to it, in that non-traditional market, a kind of some cast off players, and They're putting something together here.
The difference between them and Vegas is that Vegas was all new players and not drafted players. Meanwhile, they've had some players that they've cultivated in the last couple of years through the system. Sebastian Aho is the one that jumps out. They brought in Teravainen, who's done well. They have some good young defensemen, Falk and Slavin, et cetera. Their goaltending, though, I just, when it's all said and done, isn't good enough for me. But it's better market right now. They're nipping at the heels of a playoff spot. How about the fact that the Atlantic now has five teams that would be in the playoffs versus the Met, which was always the opposite the last couple of years, where the Atlantic was like, well, they'll be lucky if they have four, you know. Now with Buffalo and Montreal playing so well, even Detroit, I don't see Detroit having the withstanding power to stay around. But Buffalo's feeling it. Buffalo's definitely got a bit of a chip on their shoulder. They're getting some better goaltending out of Hutton, and they're up front. Jeff Skinner's been great. Montreal, who we'll see tonight, I think that you tip your hat to Claude Julien for opening up his style a little bit more and also allowing his horses to run more. Carey Price, I mean, he's still Carey Price. And he's, even though his numbers aren't saying dominant force, when he is on and he is, you know what scares you? When you watch him and he makes these saves, when he is so calm, you're like, oh my God, nothing bothers this guy. Nothing does. So it's better. So right now the wild card, I know we're only a quarter of the way through the season, is Boston and Montreal, so two Atlantic teams. Carolina's on the outside looking in.
You mentioned, Carey Price. I'm just glancing through the numbers. Montreal's given up the third most goals
in
the league
because they're challenging more. They're going the other way. No, and they're.
I mean, that's very un-Claude Julien like.
Yeah, well, you know, they. But here's the thing: if you had a team of different type of players and he was just having them stay in their own, play a different style, like he would probably or in the past wanted to, it wouldn't work for this team. They would be stuck in their own zone way too much. And they're scoring, yes, they're giving up goals, but their defense, really, this is their D crew in no particular order. Jeff Petrie is having a great year offensively, but I wouldn't call him a defensive stalwart. Mike Riley is a kid that was drafted Sarge. We salute you, Mike Riley.
You don't have to call Sarge.
he's a kid. Anyways, he was drafted by Columbus, didn't sign with them, went to Mini, couldn't make it there, gets over to Montreal. Now he's playing 20 and a half minutes. This kid, youngster, Noah Juulsen. And then you've got Jordy Benn, who is not Jamie Benn, different. But I like Jordy Benn as my depth D-man there. Then you have Victor Mete, who's really undersized. It's not a great D-crew. It's not. Shea Weber, by the way, should be coming back this week.
Okay.
Not a great D crew. But they play hard. They play hard, and their forwards nip at your heels, man. They get after you.
And a Saturday night up in Montreal is
and they're getting
always
in the front of the
tough
net. It is always
tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Domi's been unbelievable. I believe he had an 11-game streak broken yesterday. He has a point of game pace, Max Domi. Gallagher gets himself to the front of the net. He'll be a factor tonight. Now, Andrew Shaw had a couple of goals yesterday, too. He plays to the front.
All right, let's get to Sports Hub headlines. We got another half hour to go. We'll check in with Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston, possibly stuck at the border. We will find out. He's trying to smuggle anything into Canada, and we'll get to that next. And we can maybe squeeze in a couple more of your calls before we go, too, as well. 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics cruising to the 114-96 win last night over the Hawks. Sees with a much better start in this game, scoring 45 points in the first quarter. Brad Stevens, pleased with his team's effort.
Just thought our pace was really good, starters and bench. In that first quarter, I just thought that those guys were moving the ball. They were finding the right play. Defensively, we were really locked in and engaged until the very end where we gave up those runouts. You know, it was a better first three quarters, two and a half quarters performance for us, I think. And then the guys in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I thought did a good job of kind of, when Wanamaker came in and thought they did a good job of kind of holding it down and not letting it get any closer than 16 or 18.
Celtics right back at it tonight, taking on the Mavericks. Coverage going to begin on WROR at 8 o'clock. It's eventually going to switch over to 98.5, the Sports Hub, once the Bruins game is over. Speaking of the Bruins, they came away with a 2-1 overtime win over the Penguins last night. They visit the Canadiens tonight, and you can catch that game right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call. with coverage beginning at 6:30. Phil Mickelson picking up the win over Tiger Woods yesterday in the match. This one went to a playoff. Mickelson birdieing the 22nd hole to capture the $9 million prize. College football today, fourth-ranked Michigan takes on number 10 Ohio State. That one gets underway in about an hour and a half. Seventh-ranked LSU goes up against 22nd-ranked Texas A&M. At 10:15 tonight, 21st-ranked Utah State visits 23rd-ranked Boise State. And locally, Boston College hosts 20th-ranked Syracuse. That one kicks off at noon as well. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston,
Chuck Sarai,
Bob Beers.
The home of the bees.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe. Real quick before we get to Hags, assuming we get him on the phone.
Yeah.
The Nylander situation.
Yeah. 6 days, right?
Right. I think that's.
It has to be.
Something has to happen this week if it's going to happen.
Yeah, by December 1 at a certain time. There seems to be a feeling. I don't know. I love how people can read tone into things that really don't have any tone to it. But you know, the Leafs want to get it done. It's all about money, no doubt about it. Michael Nylander, his father, has a huge role in this, and Michael Nylander doesn't have the best reputation. Despite a long career in the NHL, he had a lot of issue with past agents. He had a lot of issues in deals that he had done. And he has a lot of influence in this situation. So depending on what he, I guess it's his word. And if William wants to play, he may have to go against his father a little bit. At least that's what I'm reading into the tone. How about that? Thanks. You know, you get Austin Matthews back, and all of a sudden William Nylander comes back by December 1, and you're like, oh boy, holy smokes, pretty good team up front. I still don't think their defense is great, but up front it's a lot of fun. Can it win in the long run? Well, that's yet to be seen.
There was a lot of talk here over the last, day or two that, it seemed like maybe there was going to be movement. With Toronto
You got to do your due diligence and investigate teams, right?
Sure.
Have your everything ready. Have all your info ready. I mean, drum the waters a bit too.
Ultimately, they have to work something out, right?
No.
You think he's legitimately is going to sit?
He shouldn't. Where are you ever? Even if it's. I hate to say this because it's such a little amount. Even if it's only $6.5 million that he has to live on, let's say in a 2 or 3 year bridge deal per year, you're never going to make up that money. Never. You want to be so principled on it? Are you kidding me? That amount of money? Hey, William Karlsson with the Vegas Golden Knights had 40 goals last year, 40 plus actually. He had a 1 year deal. He took a 1 year deal to bet on himself. Might not work.
Yep.
1 year deal at $5 million. But let's say he gets 30 goals. Forget 40. 30 goals again. He'll cash in 5 or 6 years at $7.5 million a year because he bet on himself.
Yeah. Is
William Nylander better than David Pastrnak? The last four games out of it because Pastrnak doesn't.
Yeah. I would not.
Take that out of it.
No.
No. Thank you. Doesn't mean that he shouldn't ask for more because everybody's entitled to ask what they want.
But by the end of the week.
Fine. So what's the point of all this?
You can't make a 2 year. Take a 2 year deal. Like you don't have to. Ultimately, you'd love the long term deal. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
Right.
But I can't imagine you're going to improve your situation by sitting out an entire season.
Not at all. Go play in Austria. That's going to be your alternative. You're going to be paying. For I don't know what kind of insurance policy you take out to cover yourself.
Well, and when you do eventually come back, like nobody's going to hand you a 7 year deal coming back from something like that. They're going to want to see you first.
Maybe. There's always some team that will do something foolish. There is always.
That's why agents get rich.
I guess. I don't know, man. I just think that here's a guy that really could be in his prime, entering his prime, with regard to a team that's entering in their prime.
Yeah.
I'd like to be a big part of it. But it sounds like there's influences in him that are telling him otherwise.
All right, Joe Haggerty joins us now from NBC Sports Boston. Where are you, Hags?
I am on 93, headed towards Vermont. And, boy, that was a deep dive on William Nylander right there. I tip my hat to you guys. I think, Billy, you made a good point. This is the bottom line with Nylander, right, is the comparables are the comparables, and I don't see them changing much no matter what happens. You know, he's not going to put up better numbers than Pastrnak, and I think Pastrnak really sets the bar for what he's going to sign for. You know, whether it's short or long term, that's what he's going to be looking at.
Well, and ultimately, the team is in, I mean, they've got a lot of obligations, both now and in the future here. I mean, there's only so much that they can be willing to do for Nylander, because he's not the biggest fish that they've got.
No.
Well, and they're going to have to trade somebody at some point, right? They can't afford to pay all of these guys, so maybe you trade the guy that is the problem for you with him, and the one that's, you know, being the issue with the contract, and
but
try to get the best value you can.
Yeah, I agree, but here's the problem right now. The value for William Nylander right here, right now, today, as you're driving, as we're seeing, is I don't even know if it's down, Joe. Is it unknown? And therefore, the connotation is that it's down. He could come. He needs to get his ass back playing. If he comes back and puts up 10 goals and 10 assists in 20 games when he comes back, you better believe, even if it's the offseason, his trade value will go through the roof. But right now, it's unknown. And so, I mean, there still might be a team or two out there who would give him a 7-year, $7.5 million deal. I wouldn't do it myself. But there might be one or two. The problem is, what is the return that Toronto's going to demand for that when it's all said and done?
Yep, and if he does sign a short bridge deal, his dad is going to be whispering in his ears a couple of years from now, doing the same thing he's doing now, and it's going to be a problem then.
Yep.
You got to kind of go into it with that situation as the known, you know, that's what you're dealing with, and that's what you're trading into if you acquire him, too.
That's been one of my other things. You mentioned Toronto, to my eyes, you know, if you're not going to get a long-term deal done, like, I would be looking to get a top-quality defenseman out of this, right?
See, I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, but if I'm Toronto, I actually, personally, I want a two, no more than a three. I'd like a two-year deal with the kid. I would. And understanding that, you know what, if we have to trade him down the road, his contract will be expiring, or then if we let's say you win with him and then he has to go because you just can't pay him the $9 million he's going to want, then you get that cap space for something else down the road. But that would be their best case scenario, because then they've won.
I feel like you're good enough offensively without him that use that asset to turn it into you know, to cover one of your big weaknesses on that team.
Kasperi Kapanen, right? Yep. I mean, he's been great.
Anyway, Joe Haggerty is not here to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
But he's not even at the border. This is mildly disappointing.
I'm not even close to the border.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't make for good radio. I mean, I was thinking, you know, kind of like a John Candy type of moment at the border. We got you, Hags. You're bringing those smuggling maple syrup. Right? That would be the other way, actually, you know.
Yeah, I'm not even close to Canadian bacon right now.
Oh, man.
Big win last night. You know, it look, say what you want about, you know, the Penguins and their record right now, but the Bruins needed that win, and they worked hard to get it. And, you know, and talking to Bob Beers earlier this hour, he said, look, this is going to be how it's going to be for a while, right? I mean, everything is going to be hard fought, and the Bruins, everything they've been through here over the past few weeks with the injuries, you know, they're working hard. You can give them that. And they're still putting up points. They're still managing to get wins. They're still managing to get to overtime even when they lose. I mean, they're weathering the storm so far.
You can't discount or take away the heart that this team is showing. And I think anybody can appreciate that, you know, they're showing a will to win and compete and get points. And, you know, we saw this to a degree last year, too, when Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron got hurt, that the team did fairly well without those key, very important players and managed to find a way to win. I think you credit the players and you credit the coaching staff for you know, making adjustments and finding ways to tweak things that are going to get the best out of everybody. But, you know, last night, and maybe, look, Ryan and Billy, maybe every game's going to go to overtime for the next month, the way things are going, right? It's going to be tight games. It's going to be, you know, one-goal games, a lot of them, I think. You know, the Bruins have scored, what, you know, a handful of goals in the last few games, not many. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to keep it low scoring and not make mistakes and, you know, hope that Yaroslav Halak and Tuukka Rask can continue to play as well as they've played the last, you know, couple of weeks while this is all going on. But, you know, you look at the game last night, you look at the different players that step up. You know, DeBrusk has a goal. He's had five over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, he's had a bunch going back further. He's really starting to heat up offensively and is giving the Bruins something they really need. Nordstrom, again, steps up and has really been an unsung hero on this team. David Krejci, I thought, had his best game maybe of the season last night and really stepped into that void created by Patrice Bergeron. You know, Jakob Forsbacka-Carlson, he survived, and he was in a big role there. Kevin Miller played 27-plus minutes with an absolute, you know, just yeoman's work he was doing on that back end that's still, you know, missing a bunch of players. So you look at the different players that are contributing and stepping up, and it's a lot of different guys, which is what you want to see. And the other thing I kind of take away is that, you know, this isn't the old Boston Bruins that would come in and bully you and intimidate you, but they're still tough. You know, it's a different kind of tough that they're taking hits, that, you know, guys are bloodied on the bench, guys are getting rammed into the boards and coming back and playing. You know, they're not getting into fights. They're not doing it the old traditional way that the Bruins did. But I think they're showing a level of heart and toughness right now, given the personnel that they have, that you really have to appreciate. And, you know, who knows, maybe in this month with no Chara and no Bergeron, to a degree, this team is going to find their identity a little bit, which I think has been missing so far. And, you know, they'll be even better for it, obviously, when those players come back.
Let's not look past a little something here, too, from last night. And I know it's easy to get mesmerized or infatuated with Crosby, okay? But he had a special game after missing three, and he came back against Dallas, and he was amazing. He was Sidney Crosby again. Last night was the first game in Sidney Crosby's – that last night was his 37th appearance that he played the Boston Bruins, where there was no Chara and Bergeron. So two of his big guys – by the way, in the previous 36 games, he had 50 points against the Boston Bruins. Hmm. You know how many he had last night? Zippo. He was damn good at times, and he had a great shift at the end of the game. But you have to take – you know, that's the mental toughness, Joe, that we're talking about. And I know this is perhaps a little early, and I get it's a little dramatic, but you have to start saying – we're only a quarter way through the season – that Bruce Cassidy is doing another hell of a job coaching this team just like he did last year.
There's no question. And that's why, when I credited the players, I think you got to credit the coaching staff too. For not only getting the players ready to play among these adverse situations, for finding positions he can put players in to succeed and play really well, to taking guys like Connor Clifton and Jeremy Lauzon that come up and plugging them into places where they're going to be effective. I mean, you know, those guys were playing 20-plus minutes in games where they were missing all their other defensemen, and they were still not making a lot of mistakes, holding teams to low numbers offensively and not, you know, keeping it a conservative, low-scoring game, which is what they're going to have to do while they're missing all these players. And, you know, and then in a game last night, he decides he's seen enough out of JFK to give him a little bit more, and they're able to not get scored on 5-on-5. And granted, you know, Pasternak didn't really show up until that play in overtime, you know, where he helped set up the game winner. But, you know, part of their job was to make sure that the big guns for Pittsburgh weren't doing any damage 5-on-5, and I think they did that. And he has a real nice feel for, obviously, for this team and what they need to do to succeed. And you know, you look at how he uses a guy like Nordstrom, who I really didn't think a whole lot of before he came to the Bruins, and the way he uses Nordstrom, you see the value that that guy has in the team and what he brings to the table, and he's getting the best out of him. And I think you credit Bruce Cassidy and his staff for being able to do all of those different kinds of things. And, you know, let's face it, this is a make or break for them when you start seeing Chara and Bergeron go down at the same time. That could be a real morale killer as well as, you know, just what you're missing on the ice. But I agree with you, Billy. They've shown a mental toughness and a heart that I think speaks well to what we're going to see when everybody does get healthy and get back. And you know, that I think this team is going to be able to tread water and be okay for this next month while they're missing those players. And then, you know, down the stretch, we get to see how good they can be while maybe adding a piece or two as well.
Well, to that end, you know, last night they had Miller in there. They had Moore in there. They leaned on those guys heavily, as we were talking about earlier. You know,
by the way, John Moore, how he recovers tonight, meaning back, is a key for me. How is he going to be? Because his lower body injury, it was kind of tough there for a couple of days, and then he made this. He got better real quick. I got to see how he recovers tonight. Sorry, RG.
But I just wanted to, you know, you still got, I mean, obviously Chara out, but McAvoy and Carlo and to a lesser extent Vakanainen. Any idea how close those guys are to being back in the lineup?
None of them are going to play tonight. I think there's probably a chance maybe Carlo could play Monday against Toronto. I think it would depend on if the Bruins end up skating tomorrow and practicing tomorrow, which, you know, they may not after back-to-backs, even though they've got ice scheduled. So I think the real optimist would say maybe Carlo ends up playing Monday. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And, you know, who knows? If they go out and they play really well against Montreal tonight, hold down to a low number like they did to Pittsburgh last night, you know, maybe you don't want to change anything and maybe you want to let out those guys get fully healthy and not push them back. But I think Carlo's the closest one. The other two, I think, it's going to be a few more days before they come back. McAvoy and Vakanainen.
I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't. If they play well tonight, even get a point. Just, you know what? Give them three more days, four more days to fully get ready.
Well, they've been very, I mean, with McAvoy especially, it's been very, very careful, it seems.
Well,
so
I think they're just waiting for him now to give them the, okay, I feel, you know, he's pushed himself. But I think they're waiting for him now to say, I'm ready.
Hags, appreciate the time as always, and safe drive, and enjoy the atmosphere up in Montreal tonight.
Thanks, Ryan and Billy. I'm going to give everybody at the border your best when I go through.
I'll tell you what, man. Bring me back a nice case of a good Canadian bevy, and I'll pay you back, okay?
Hey, Billy, I'll bring you back some Timbits instead. How's that?
Pick up a little
I like beer.
Pick up a little poutine while you're up there, huh?
Have fun.
See you, boys.
All right.
We have time for one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. I saw, Zdeno Chara. First of all, great stuff from Chara, and the Bruins continue to do this on Thanksgiving. The world's largest pilgrim. I love the hat. And very important to him to be a part of this. Gregory Campbell in the past did it. I'm forgetting who did it last year. Bolesky did it as well. Chara taking it over in conjunction with Mike's Pastries, delivering 400 pies around just the city shelters, and meant an awful lot to Zdeno Chara and stuff. And you know what? Good for him. Good for the team. So congratulations on that. So I loved something that Chara did the other day, or yesterday. I saw him and he hugs Connor Clifton, and he's like giving him a great hug. He's being first of all, he looks good. You know, the knee is sore, but he looks good, which made me feel good because the big daddy's gonna be okay in a couple of weeks. But he's telling Clifton, he's like, hey, you know, they shouldn't have taken that point away, which they shouldn't have. That was awful homer scoring in Detroit. But he said, you know what, Connor? He said, it's going to be better when you get your real point the right way and you're going to put it in. And you should have seen the face of Connor Clifton. I loved it because that's leadership. He's not on the ice right now, but he's still leading, doing the things. I thought that was awesome to see. And I don't know if enough people, you know, get to see kind of things. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Real quick, too, I want to note the passing of Mick Magoo.
Yeah, very, very sad.
Long-time official in the NHL, well-respected guy. Had a stroke, I think, earlier this week.
And, he did.
And passed away yesterday. So.
In Saskatchewan, had a stroke out of nowhere, only 62 years old. When officials were still allowed to be colorful and encouraged to have their own personality and didn't wear a helmet. Mick had great hair, so he didn't need to wear a helmet. And he had a stroke, and they took him off life support after, I think, 24 or 48 hours, and he died. So I didn't know Mick well. I knew his work very well. I know some of the other guys, the refs that I know very well, had a lot of respect and a lot of love for him. And so, hockey lost another one. Last thing, I'll wrap it up with this. Bruins have now 17 games before the New Year, before New Year's Day game. Eight at home, 9 on the road, starting with tonight. I said last night, too, if out of those 18 games, let's just talk about going into the Pitt game. If there was a way for them to go 500 in that time, so get 18 points, basically, how would you feel? and I'd feel pretty good.
Not bad.
But so keep churning and burning, guys. Keep getting points. They can do that. Stay in that third, fourth spot. I'll take the fourth spot, even the Atlantic. I like this team when everybody gets healthy. The big thing is when everybody get healthy.
All right. Again, we mentioned it earlier. No hockey show next week because of high school football, Super Bowls.
Not right.
So we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks here on the Sports Hub. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.